Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
This, my friends, is the best animated shows ever. So far, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever, eventually, MC, my friend, how are you doing today?
I'm all right.
This is a weird energy I've brought into this, but you know what? It's here now. Can't get rid of it. This is the energy of the show today.
Yep. I'm not sure what happened, but we were fine about 2 seconds ago, and it just got weird in that, like, all I did was take a sip of water.
Uh-huh. Water, with big quotation marks. We all know that it was absinthe mixed with cocaine, mixed with heroin, mixed with children's Tylenol, MC. It's okay, you can admit it. No, it's not. That's not it. Why did I say that? We don't say things like that on the show. MC, what has happened?
You checked on your child on the camera. Mm-hmm. I took a sip of water, mm-hmm. and then you just sort of lost your mind. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what happened.
MC, let me tell you what happened. It's 5:58 a.m. my time right now. I got up at about 12:20 a.m. to feed the child. And then tried to put him back to sleep, and he would not go to sleep. He fussed and he fussed and he fussed and he fussed. And so eventually I got back up, and I played more Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2 while I held him in my arms, because if I held him in my arms, he's totally calm. And then at about 4 a.m., I laid him down, and he slept for 23 minutes and then woke up and started screaming. So I got up again. So I've been up since midnight, except for about 23 minutes. So that might be what happened, I think, possibly.
Fair enough.
But he's asleep now, and we're recording a podcast, and we'll see how long he stays asleep. But while he's sleeping, we're going to talk about Dragon Ball Z. And to kick us off, since I've already talked a lot about Dragon Ball when we covered Dragon Ball, I asked our friend Ninja Boy to send in some information on Dragon Ball Z. And he found a lot of information. So this is part one of two of Ninja Boy's info on Dragon Ball Z. Part two will be on next week's episode. So for now, I will turn it over to Ninja Boy.
Hey there, Twirling MC, and to all the listeners of the best animated show ever so far podcast. It's Ninja Boy, your resident anime correspondent, here to talk about the origins of the Dragon Ball franchise, as well as a little bit about its impact and legacy. In fact, I kind of got so carried away doing the research for this segment that I had to break it out into two segments. So for this first segment, I'm going to talk about the manga origins of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. And then in the second part, which will hopefully air in next episode, I will talk about the anime developments and the dubbing process of how it came over here to the States and became so popular. In any case, you guys covered some of this in the Dragon Ball episode, but I'll get into a little bit more in the weeds of the details. So strap in and let's go. So Dragon Ball is the work of mangaka Akira Toriyama. Toriyama Sensei was born in 1955 and began working at an advertising agency designing posters, having enjoyed drawing since a kid. In fact, he won an award for a fan drawing of 101 Dalmatians, which is when he really got interested in art. After quitting that advertising agency gig, he tried entering amateur contests for mangaka in 1977 for one of the many Jump family of magazines by publisher Sueisha. Even though he didn't win, he was encouraged by editor Kazuhiko Torishima, remember that name, to continue on. He tried out several more one-shots before finally getting, he tried several more one-shots in 1978 and 1979 before finally getting a serialization with Weekly Shonen Jump with the series Dr. Slump. It debuted at the number 2 spot, and the aforementioned Torishima became his editor for the series and later Dragon Ball. Dr. Slump was an episodic comedy sci-fi story about a robot girl and her adventures with her anthropomorphic animal friends. It ran from 1980 to 1984 in 236 chapters and 18 tankobon volumes, selling 35 million volumes total. From 1981 to 1986, there was a 243-episode anime, which is one of the first times Weekly Shonen Jump had to manage an anime adaptation for one of their properties. For this work, Toriyama Sensei won the Sogokukan Manga Award in 1981 for Girls and Boys Manga, one of the top awards for manga in Japan. So despite this success, or perhaps Toriyama-sensei actually wanted to move on to his next work 6 months into Dr. Slump. But a victim of his own success, he was not allowed to by the editorial staff of Weekly Shonen Jump. He eventually stuck a deal with them where if he came up with a more interesting serialized series, that they would allow him to end Dr. Slump and move on to that one. So with this in mind, Toriyama-sensei actually shifted his production schedule from working 7 days on Dr. Slump to working only 5 days a week on Dr. Slump, and then finishing and working the rest of the week on creating new one-shots to try to get something new, still producing a weekly output for the magazine. Eventually, drawing upon his love for Hong Kong kung fu films such as Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon and Jackie Chan's Drunken Master, he came up with a two-part story called Dragon Boy, which later became the Dragon Ball manga. His various other one-shots at this time also can be found in the collection of one-shots as well. So, Dragon Ball serialization began in 1984, 3 months after Dr. Slump ended, and lasted for 11 years until 1995. With 519 chapters collected in 42 tankobon volumes. It has been sold between 250 and 300 million total volumes. The best number I found was 280, putting it at the second or third best manga of all time, behind One Piece, which was directly inspired by Dragon Ball, which has 460 volumes. Gogo 13 also has 280 million volumes, so that's why it's either second or third for total volumes sold. But Gogo 13 also has the benefit of having run since 1968 concurrent and is the oldest continuously running manga to date. Initially, Dragon Ball had a similar vibe to Dr. Slump as you saw in the last Best Animated So Ever podcast. Had a more similar vibe to Dr. Slump, kind of like a road trip vibe with the child Goku going on a journey to help the teenage Bulma in episodic comedy gags and encounters with various foes from location to location. In fact, they even cross over with Dr. Slump at some point. It draws heavily from the Chinese mythological tale of Journey to the West. Son Goku is actually the Japanese name for Sun Wukong, the monkey king who has an extending staff and cloud nimbus. Oolong, Yamcha, and Bulma are all analogs to Sun Wukong's companions in Journey to the West, and the fearsome Ox King appears in both works. While there's definitely a charm to these initial arcs, the series wasn't super, super successful, only about 6th or 8th in overall rankings for the magazine. Eventually, they introduced the Tenkaichi Budokai Tournament arc, with Master Roshi and Krillin and the various martial arts competing against each other, and that's where the manga began to pick up steam and finally became the main focus of the manga. So it's important to note that with the shift in fighting to manga, the character design of Goku, which, you know, was a small, diminutive child, not very long arms, was really geared more toward the comedic manga that had some elements of fighting in it. You know, with fighting being the new focus, they had to do a character redesign to make the fighting sequences easier to draw. So in chapter 166, at the start of the Piccolo Jr. arc, Goku ages up in the 3-year time skip to 18 years old. And then the arc immediately after, the Raditz arc, you know, which takes place 5 years after the Piccolo Jr. arc in chapter 195, that officially marks the shift to Dragon Ball Z. However, the title of the manga would not change. The Z was only added for the anime. Hilariously, Toriyama-sensei added the Z because at the time, he thought the series was near its end and he was running out of ideas for the manga. Remember, Dragon Ball Z covers the latter 325 out of 519 chapters. So, in addition to the shift in a more focus on fighting, Toriyama-sensei received a new editor. His previous editor, Torishima, went on to become the head of sister magazine V-Jump, and later, after Dragon Ball ended in 1995, became head editor-in-chief for the entire magazine, launching titles such as Naruto, One Piece, and Yu-Gi-Oh! His new editor, Yu Kondo, introduced many of the staples of fighting manga that Dragon Ball pioneered, including transformations such as Super Saiyan, Power Levens, it's over 9,000, and in general, up the combat focus of the manga. Perhaps most importantly, there was a shift toward fighting more increasingly powerful foes as opposed to kind of the road trip vibe from the earlier Dragon Ball series. The Frieza arc during this period is generally considered to be the peak of the manga's popularity, receiving about 70% of the votes in a popularity survey run by the magazine. The final editor for Dragon Ball, Fuyoto Takeda, took it over midway through the Cell arc and ran it through the end of the series, the Majin Buu arc. and was the editor for Toriyama Sensei's post-Dragon Ball Z works. Dragon Ball Z can really be tied to Weekly Shonen Jump's peak popularity as measured by its weekly circulation. In 1984, when it premiered, Weekly Shonen Jump had about 3.9 million weekly issues sold, or about 202 million total sold for the year. At the end of Dragon Ball's run in 1995, it was at 6.5 million weekly issues, or 339 million total issues sold for the year, a number which Weekly Shonen Jump has not yet hit since. The numbers came back down back to 1984 numbers in 1998, and currently sits somewhere around in the 1 to 2 million weekly issues. Dragon Ball's influence really can't be overstated. It pretty much set the conventions for all shonen manga, specifically for fighting and battle manga for generations to come. Legendary mangaka Ichiro Oda-sensei of One Piece and Masahisi Kishimoto-sensei of Naruto have both directly named it as inspirations for their protagonists, and other mangaka have confirmed how the series was influential for them growing up, including Hiro Mishima-sensei of Fairy Tail, Tsukubo-sensei of Bleach, Nabaka Suzuki of Sensei of Deadly Seven Deadly Sins, and Yusuke Murata-sensei of One Punch Man. And as noted before, many conventions in shonen manga and combat manga take from Dragon Ball, such as transformations, power-ups, time skips, and power levels are the staple of the genre. Going back to Toriyama-sensei's contemporaries, Yoshihiro Togashi, who started around the same time as Toriyama-sensei, carried these into his works Yu Yu Hakusho and Hunter x Hunter. And really, nowadays it's rare to find a manga in a shonen manga that doesn't really make some sort of reference, either an indirect homage or at least in passing, to Dragon Ball. And its influence extends beyond anime. The producer of Tekken, Katsuhiro Harada, credited Dragon Ball Z with the first depiction of chi in some sort of media, or visual depiction, which really influenced the Tekken and Street Fighter series. After all, you wouldn't have a Hadouken if you couldn't visualize what the chi looked like, right? And you can hardly find anyone here in the West that didn't grow up in the 90s that didn't have Dragon Ball as a cultural touchstone, thanks to Toonami. More on that next episode. And these are the people who are now making our video games, our television shows, and our music, with Dragon Ball having a particularly strong influence in the hip-hop community. And with Goku being the official ambassador for the Tokyo 2020 Olympics, alongside Naruto, Sailor Moon, Luffy, and Astro Boy, you can definitely expect to see a lot more of him this year and for years to come. So, as I said, this segment got a little bit away from me, but hopefully this was really informative about the manga origins of Dragon Ball Z and the wider Dragon Ball franchise. There's so much to this story and how it came to television in Japan and how it became to be a juggernaut in the States. We'll cover that next episode. But for now, thanks to you, thanks Toidle and MC for having me on this episode. You can follow me at Ninja Boy Media, boy with an I, on Twitter. But for now, back to you. Thanks, guys.
Dope. Thank you, Ninja Boy. That he was like, hey, I made a super successful anime. Like, it's real good. I did a really good job with this anime or manga, and then everyone loved it. And then I made a super successful anime out of it, and everyone loved it. And he was like, can I do another one now? And they're like, no, you have to keep doing this one. He's like, but what if another one? Please? It just makes me happy.
Yeah.
I like that he always wanted to do something new. And I think that the call out there about the influence of Dragon Ball Z, like, I guess that's something that I kind of, like, in the back of my head knew, but hadn't really thought about it. But his point about, like, people who are making video games and movies and TV right now grew up watching Dragon Ball Z is like, oh, yeah, that's right.
And you can kind of tell now these days as well. Like, there's a lot of things that you first saw in Dragon Ball that are in pretty much any fighting show, mm-hmm. Any fighting game.
Never occurred to me that, like, yeah, that's where this comes from. Like,
yeah.
You just see, you know, every fighting game you go, and you get, like, glowing light going around your character to show how much, you know, power they're gathering. That doesn't make any sense. That's nothing. It's nothing, except for we all know what it means because of Dragon Ball Z.
I mean, a Hadouken is pretty much a Kamehameha.
Mm-hmm. 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 All right, MC, I think it's time to talk about Dragon Ball Z.
We got ads.
Well, okay, fine. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
We got those first.
We got ads.
So we'll be right back after these messages.
Good evening, 003. The following is for your ears only and is classified above top secret by Her Majesty's Secret Service. Less than 24 hours ago, our contact with the We Can Make This Work, probably podcast network, intercepted an encrypted audio message sent over social media regarding the upcoming season of Podcasters Assemble, a hype rewatch podcast covering the James Bond films leading up to Bond's 25. According to our intel, Season 1 covered the Marvel Cinematic Universe, while Season 2 focused on the Star Wars Skywalker saga. For this season, the Podcast Network is looking to recruit field operatives from around the world to reminisce about the Daniel Craig Bond movies, Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, and Spectre, in a countdown to the latest film in the franchise, No Time to Die. Your primary objective is to infiltrate Podcasters Assemble by recording and uploading your submissions at probablywork.com. Utilizing a two-way communications device with a built-in microphone, the latest from QBranch. In addition, MI6 believes that the first episode is going to be an overview of the series as a whole, showcasing everyone's favorite and least favorite Bond movies, Bond actors, Bond villains, secret lairs, cold opens, vehicles, and gadgets from the franchise's history, and more importantly, your background with these films. For a full mission report, go to probablywork.com. The first episode is scheduled for release on March 6th. We're all counting on you, 003.
We've set up new ways that our listeners can interact with us. So Twitter and Instagram have been there for a while. We've got an email account. All of that's basesfcast. The email's at basesfcast@gmail.com. But now there's a Facebook page. So you can go to facebook.com/basesfcast, and you can find the page for the show. And then there's also on that page, there's a button that says join group. We'll probably watch the group more than the page. To get to the group, you do have to know what one of our names are, which if you don't at this point, I'm a little hurt. We also have a YouTube account. If you search BaseSFcast on YouTube, then you'll find the episodes, but on YouTube. I was going to say, but in video format, but it's not really in video format because we don't record our faces. I guess we do record our faces. We're not putting up videos. Anyway, search BaseSFcast on YouTube. And then the final thing is, MC, you want to tell them about the voice messages?
Oh, yeah, that's right. On Anchor, you can actually go onto our podcast and it's a button. It's just a button that they can press.
It's just a button. It says send voice message.
And you click on that and you can record a little voice message for us. In fact, what we really are looking for is for people to drop in their opinion on the show that we're currently watching. And we will drop a few of those into episode 3.
Yep.
Probably right before we rank the show.
Yeah, I think that's the place to do it. It's kind of as we're wrapping up our thoughts on the show, then we can get a little bit of your thoughts on the show. And the page for that is just anchor.fm/basesfcast. Just whatever website you're on, put basesfcast at the end of it. Unless it's an adult website. Don't do that.
I mean. And we're back.
Why is it laggy? For some reason, it's laggy right now, MC. It's laggy.
I'm not sure.
I'm going to get us started. Now, MC and I sometimes will play the episode while we're discussing it, and that can kind of control the flow of the episode. But man, MC, this episode has pacing issues. It's slow.
Yeah, and nothing really happens.
If we try and talk about every single thing that happens in this episode where nothing happens, my brain might melt. So, here's what I want to do first, though. I want to talk about the theme song, because I know we watched different versions of this. I know you said you watched it subtitled for the first time, right?
Yeah, I watched it for the first time subtitled. Okay. I normally watch Dragon Ball Z dub because that's how it aired on TV here in Australia. And I'm guessing how it aired on TV in America as well. So I grew up watching the dubbed. It was normal for me to watch Dragon Ball in dubbed. There's a lot of anime I can't watch dubbed because the mouth movements are so off. So I like to watch a lot of the subtitles. This time I was like, Troy's going to be watching it dubbed. He always watches everything dubbed. So I'm going to do something a bit different than normal and I'm going to watch it subtitled. And the opening sequence isn't that like sort of rock metal.
You mean Dragon, Rock the Dragon, yeah. Dragon Ball Z? That's what I was going to say. It wasn't for me either. So I watched this. I tried to watch this in three different places. First, I tried to just go onto a disreputable website and watch it there. And they were like, no, you can't have it in any decent quality. But also the theme song's weird and it's bad. And so then I realized that I actually own it from Microsoft. They at one point were like, here's the first season of Dragon Ball Z free. And I was like, ah, all right, cool. So I watched it there. Wrong theme song, different theme song than the other one that I watched. And so then I went and looked it up on YouTube because I was like, am I going insane? And found the one with the right theme song. But I guess that over the course of the show, they actually changed the theme song a couple times. And then I think when Toonami aired it, I think they must have gone back and put the Dragon, Rock the Dragon theme song on all the episodes because that's the only one I remember. But it didn't play here, and I didn't like it. I was like, where's the Dragon, Rock the Dragon? What's happening? Why aren't dragons being rocked?
The subtitled one is, like, this Japanese, like, it's so weird. It's like, it really feels like operatic almost in parts.
I think that was the first one I found, was the that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's just,
it opens with that, and I was like, well, is this I literally had to check I was watching the right thing because I thought I was watching Dragon Ball again.
Dragon, Rock the Dragon is the only song that will ever set the right mood for me for Dragon Ball.
Yeah. I don't know what it was, but that I was expecting that, and I got something else. And then the first scene opens up with pink cassowaries, and I'm like, I got really confused because
it's a big naked bird. It kind of looks like an ostrich, but it's naked. MC had to tell me what it was because I didn't know that word.
Yeah,
as heard on our Silver Surfer mailbag section.
But yeah, I literally opened it up, I put it up on the big screen because we're about to start recording, and it was at the end of the mailbag that we just recorded. And I must have had like the most confused look on my face.
And then you're like, I'm like, why are you confused? You're like, a pink cassowary. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. So this episode opens up with pink cassowaries and a farm. People are hanging out and everything's beautiful and peaceful and calm.
Yep.
And nice. It's such a beautiful place. And we see a house and there's Chi-Chi. She's calling for Gohan. Everything's calm, peaceful, and happy. Nothing's wrong with the world at all.
Well, we get a little bit of backstory. It's been, I think, 5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 years since Piccolo's schemes for conquering the world have been shattered, I believe, is the exact wording that the narrator uses on the Japanese one. I'm not sure what they say. But that they say essentially thanks to Goku, and then we're sort of like we see a spaceship in space flying around. It's a little ball, and then it crashes on Earth.
Hang on, wait a minute. You saw a spaceship flying around in space?
Yeah, it's like one of the
do you get the cassowaries as your first shot?
Yeah.
Okay, so cassowaries are the first thing you see, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and then it does show the space ball. Oh, okay. You're right. That's before the titles. I apologize.
Yeah. And then as he's crashing on Earth, or as the ball, you see, is mm-hmm. crashing onto Earth, it cuts to some... It says a new threat, or the new threat, and then it talks about Gohan.
That's where we get to their house. Okay.
Mini Goku.
Yeah. I love that we see Goku jumping through the trees. That's like the first shot we see of Goku is he's out jumping through the trees, running around, being all Goku-like, and then he finds a tree and he punches it down to get firewood because he's Goku. He doesn't need an axe. He's like, Goku's, do you think, MC, do you think that Dragon Ball Z inspired Minecraft and somebody watched this and they were like, I'm going to make a video game where you punch trees and then Minecraft happened?
maybe, or maybe he remembers it. Like way back in his memory, but doesn't actually remember where he got the inspiration to just let you punch trees to cut it down.
Nope, he stole it from Dragon Ball Z.
He stole it? Okay.
That's my new theory. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. And see here, let me tell you about a problem that I'm having at this present moment in time in my life. You know how I said that Microsoft was like, hey, Troy, would you like to have Dragon Ball Z Season 1 for free? And I was like, yeah, Microsoft, I would like to have that. Do you know what they didn't include in Dragon Ball Season 1 for free? Freaking what? Subtitles. So I can't, there's no closed captioning. So I have the volume down while we're chatting, and I'm like, and then Chi-Chi talks to Goku, and I don't remember exactly what she says because I can't have subtitles on, so who knows exactly what
she said. She's asking where Gohan could go off to. Well, and then she tells him to go off and find him.
Okay. So, cut to farmer dealing with some hay. And big spaceship, well, not big spaceship, little spaceship falls out of the sky and crashes. And this is like, this is the thing that happens in this episode that is important. Where, like, spaceship lands and the farmer's like, what the heck is that? And it's just like the start of Dragon Ball. No. Not Dragon Ball, this is Dragon Ball. It's just like the start of Star Trek Enterprise, where a farmer with a shotgun tries to deal with an alien who's crashed on his farm, except for that it turns out that Raditz, who comes out of this space pod, is a lot stronger than a Klingon, and when he gets shot with a shotgun, he doesn't even care, and he catches a bullet, and then he flicks it back at the farmer, and it like sends the farmer's truck flying.
Is it supposed to be a shotgun or a rifle?
MC, I don't know guns. There are two kinds of guns. There are little guns and big guns, and it is a big gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I think it's supposed to be a rifle.
Do farmers carry rifles? Do farmers carry shotguns? Yes. Do farmers carry guns?
Yes.
Why?
Predators.
There's no predators in the world of Dragon Ball Z, MC, you silly goose.
I'm going to mention there are still dinosaurs in this world. How can you say that there aren't predators when there's literally dinosaurs?
But they're like friendly dinosaurs. The alien guy, he's super cool, super buff. He's wearing like a one-piece swimsuit with big shoulder pads. And he's got an eyepiece that is only over one eye.
He kind of looks like someone.
He kind of looks like a little bit like Goku, except for in a bathing suit. If Goku went to the beach, he'd probably look like Raditz. MC, can I admit something to you?
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I had this cool pair of orange sunglasses, and they broke, and so one of the lenses came off, so it was just like the nose piece, and then one orange lens, and then the piece that goes back to your ear, and I wore it like that a lot when I was in high school, like when I was like old enough to know, like, this isn't really cool, but I'm gonna do it anyway.
Fair enough.
And in my head, I pretended that it was a power level scanner. And that's what Raditz has on his eye, and he uses it to scan power levels, and he's like, I see you, Kakarot. I'm coming for you, Kakarot.
Yeah, he mentions that someone has power levels slightly over 4,000.
4,000? Is that what it is? I didn't think it was that
4,400 high. 4,400 and something, I think.
Dang.
But yeah. But that's less than half of the iconic line from Vegeta.
Yeah.
So
his power level, it's over 4,000. That's not it.
No. Okay. But as soon as our alien friend lands and takes care of that pesky farmer who's just goes around shooting aliens for no reason.
Welcome to Earth, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. We get the scene in the forest with Gohan and the lion.
So, basically, Gohan's running through the woods. He's chasing butterflies and stuff, and Sabretooth Cat shows up and attacks him. Here's my question for you, MC. Did you like this scene?
No, it brought nothing except for the fact that you're supposed to infer that Gohan is this innocent.
He is an innocent. That's true. It's just that it's a little slow.
Well, yeah, and when you consider, like, this is around the age that we're supposed to have first seen Goku in Dragon Ball.
And Goku is, like, super badass.
Yeah.
Run through the forest, catching fish with his tail.
But you also got to
assume, make pancakes?
Like,
I don't think he made pancakes. I think I made that up.
I can't remember.
He did something naked that he shouldn't have been doing, where I was like, why are you still naked while you're doing this?
Probably. He did like to be naked. But we see him off on this adventure, but we kind of get, like, the impression Chi-Chi is sheltering him a bit.
Yeah.
I guess. Because he plays dead, and the saber-toothed tiger just steals his hat.
Because the saber-toothed tiger is not a predator, MC. It just wants a fashionable hat. I think my theory has been proven.
Maybe.
That pause is you saying, I heard in that pause, what you said was...
But...
What you said was...
Really?
MC, what you said was... Because you paused, you said, but what I heard was, you're right. That's what I heard.
No, because there's definitely a T-Rex that tries to attack them later, and Gohan starts eating his tail.
Like you do. So, yeah. It just tells us that, like, look how Gohan, he's adventuring through the forest just like his dad was, but he's like... kind of like he's not actually adventurous. Like, he's adventuring through the woods. Like, Sabretooth Tiger takes his hat, and you're like, go on, go get your hat back. And he's like, all right, I will. And the way he gets his hat back, or tries to get his hat back, is by running after the tiger, crying about how his dad's gonna be so sad that he lost his hat because that was a gift from his daddy. And it's like, all right, listen, it's not like I would even be able to chase a saber-toothed tiger if I was alone in the woods as an adult. Like, if I was in the woods and a saber-toothed tiger came up to me and was like, yo, dog, I want your hat, I would just piss and shit myself in fear and curl into a ball and just rock back and forth and not be able to do anything. And at least Gohan's got enough courage to chase after the monster while he's crying and pissing himself in fear. I don't even have that. But listen, when you're going to start your episode with be like, hey, look, big alien landed on Earth, catch bullets with his fingers, flick him back and blow up cars and shit. And then you're like, what if we watch a small child cry in the woods? I'm like... Can we not? Can we do something other than watch a small child cry in the woods?
But essentially, he goes running off through the woods, ends up at a, like, gets intrigued by a bird, I think, on a log.
I think he just ran off a cliff, didn't he?
No. It's like a bird on a log, and then it cuts back to Goku, and he finds the hat on the saber-toothed tiger. Tells the saber-toothed tiger to, asks where he got the hat a bunch, and then scares off the tiger. And Then we cut back to Gohan overbalancing the log, I think, or he was like on the verge of overbalancing it before it cut away from him. But then he's just traveling down the river on this log for like 4 minutes or something. Calling
like a
out
long
for
time. Like we're both sitting here clicking through the episode going, nope, still Gohan on an adventure. Nope, still Gohan just hanging out. Eventually, Goku's like, hey, look, it's my son. And he picks him up and he's like, hey, it's cool.
Here's your hat. First,
we're going to go see Master Roshi. End of story.
First, what happens is the log falls over the waterfall.
I don't care. It's boring.
Yeah, I know. But we're sort of expected to get that Gohan's done something weird here because he's up on a branch above the waterfall or from where he fell.
But it's boring.
Yeah, and that's why they're going to go see Roshi. It's just that little bit of information.
Is it? Because I thought they were just like, hey, we're going to... I thought it was like... No, because they were going to go see Roshi anyway. It was just today. It's go visit Roshi day.
I thought it was implied that it was because he flew and
I guess
he needs training.
You could infer that from watching just this episode, but then next episode, it's clear that they're having like a reunion at Roshi's.
Oh, okay.
So maybe it's just coincidental timing. Anyway, then finally something interesting happens because Raditz is hanging out looking at a city and there's bears living in the city. There's people and bears because animals live with people in this world. And he's like, oh, this world's disgusting. I hate all these people so much. It's gross. A power level. And he flies over and it's Piccolo, MC. Piccolo's so cool.
Yeah.
He's green. He wears a blue tunic thing. One piece with a blue belt and a big white cape and a turban. I love Piccolo. He is one of my favorites.
He's kind of shaking in his boots because he senses the power level of Raditz.
He doesn't need a cool scanner thing. He can just feel it.
Yeah, and at first he thinks it's Goku, but then when the guy shows up, he's like, you're not Goku.
Excuse me,
and they
Kakarot.
Have a... Yeah. No, because Piccolo's like,
oh,
you're
Piccolo
not Goku.
Oh, Piccolo thought Raditz was Goku.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And
Raditz
then
thought
Raditz
Piccolo
is
was Kakarot. And then he's
and
not Kakarot.
That's exactly what happens. And then Piccolo hits him once with a bolt. Mm-hmm. And Raditz is like, ha, pathetic. And then flies off in another direction.
Because he gets another reader on his his eyepiece.
It's
goes, this time it's Kakarot for sure.
And that's pretty much where the episode ends.
With Piccolo making a big dumb face because he's like, that was everything I had, and he didn't even flinch.
Yeah, and then we get, Goku's essential origin story of, like, he was a Saiyan sent off from Vegeta.
Does he mention Saiyans and
destroy...
Vegeta in this part?
I think he just says,
I remember when we sent you, and it shows him as a baby in a spaceship.
Yeah, it shows that, but I don't think they mention Vegeta or any of the other stuff, but still.
That all comes next time on Dragon Ball Z. MC, I'm looking at, I've got dragonball.fandom.com up, as is customary. I like to check out the Wikipedias for the shows we're covering. I think it's interesting. This has the plot breakdown, of course, and then it has a section that's called Major Events, and man, we should have just read these four bullet points because it covers this episode. You ready? Major Events.
Yeah.
One, it is revealed Goku and Chi-Chi have a son, Gohan, named after Goku's adoptive father. Two, Gohan becomes lost in the woods, but is later rescued by Goku. Three, a mysterious alien lands on Earth and immediately takes his first victim. Four, the alien meets Piccolo. The end. But then...
Yeah, that...
It has a section called Battles. What do you think it says under Battles, MC? What do you think it says under Battles?
I'm guessing the farmer shooting Raditz and then Piccolo shooting Raditz. But
both
of them...
Raditz versus farmer is the first battle. I'm like, really? Is that the first battle of Dragon Ball Z? Is Raditz versus farmer? I mean, I guess, kinda. Let's see. MC, I think that wraps up episode one. Except for we got to talk about the best and the worst. Worst first, MC, would you like to go first with your worst?
I just think how long it took to get, like, I'm not sure because if, like because we have watched this show before, mm-hmm. and we know sort of where it's leading up to and how much action can be shoved into one of these episodes,
mm-hmm.
or we've just forgotten how long-winded it can be sometimes. Like, it took forever to get anywhere in this episode, it seems.
Uh-huh. I would argue
there's a few episodes
that
like
it took
that.
More than the episode to get anywhere. I would argue that at the end of the episode, we still haven't really gotten anywhere.
Yeah.
It's just...
So that's the worst thing, I think.
That is my worst thing as well. It's just the overall pacing of this is just... It is slow, man. And I know that something that Dragon Ball Z has been criticized for is like dragging things out, and maybe it just didn't bother me when I was younger, but holy smokes, watching this time, I was just like, MC, this episode is 22 minutes and 56 seconds long to get to the credits. It took me 3 sessions to sit down and watch this 22 minute and 56 long episode. Like, I watched some of it, I was like, nope, I'm bored. And then I left, and then I came back and watched some more and went, nope, I'm bored again. And then I came back and finished it.
Fair enough.
My best thing, however, was that the start of it mirrored the start of Dragon Ball with Goku hanging out in the woods. I thought that was really neat to see that, like, listen, Goku got married, he had a kid, but he's still up to his same old thing of, like, jumping through the trees and punching wood and stuff. I like that.
Yeah, that was good. My best thing is actually getting Piccolo.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Like, first episode we got Piccolo, so. Mm-hmm.
I like it. I think that's it for this one. So we will return next time for episode 2 of Dragon Ball Z. We'll hear more of the background from Ninja Boy, and then we'll talk about episode 2, which is called... Reunions. Next time on Dragon Ball Z. How do we end this? Don't change the channel. I forgot we came up with that for the end. Hey, don't change the channel. Dragon, rock the dragon. Dragon Ball Z. My baby woke up.
Dragon. Yeah, just as your old baby. Yeah,
it's perfect time.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.